When I talk about obedience, there's a couple, I've said this so many times, I'm going to write, it's on your handout actually. Obedience, what is it? This was really helpful to me. It's doing what God says, when God says it, with the right heart attitude. And in my own life, not only when I was trying to teach it to my children, but in my own life, it was an important thing to remind myself, because you can get into dutiful duty, out of duty doing things, with no delight, with no right heart attitude. And I can't believe God is all that impressed with that type of obedience. Showing up and grumbling because, well, it's hot and I had to come to church tonight. You know, that type of a spirit? No. I mean, I suspect we lose 90% of the blessing that God intends for us when we come with the wrong attitude. Obviously, the other aspect of life is that many, many people obey, but they wait a long time to do it, and they're the losers. It's amazing how God has a way of getting us to do what he wants us to do. We are foolish enough to fight what we know in our heart we ought to do, but for whatever reason, we're serving ourselves, and we get ourselves into trouble. And again, we are the losers. I had another definition for obedience. I'm not even really certain where it came from, not mine, but it really, again, is helpful to me when I think about this topic. Obedience is thinking and acting, it might even be speaking, in accordance with God's word, in spite. And there, here's the point that is helpful to me. The fact is, Dr. McLaughlin, that may even be your definition here. I think it might be, as I think about it, but I'm not certain where it comes from at any rate. But the threefold ending of this, obedience is doing it in spite of feelings within. You recognize that? How often we talk ourselves out of things because we don't feel like doing it, even when we know it's the right thing to do? Some as simple as just getting up in the morning. We just stay in the sack. You know, we just don't do it unless there's some other pressure. But in fact, we should have gotten up, gotten into the Word, had a quiet time. Circumstances. Sometimes we look at circumstances and we draw our own conclusions. Dangerous. When God has told us to do something and, you know, you sense that leading here either directly from the Word or from the prompting of the Spirit, and then you look at the circumstance, I don't know though. I don't know that I should do that in this setting. Be careful with that. Because obedience is doing it when it is not necessarily convenient. It may even have some pushback. But a lot of times that very, you know, I think of my sister-in-law witnessing to me. The circumstances, I'm telling you, what she was witnessing to me as an unsaved man, they were never good circumstances. I made sure of it. Every time she brought it up, I made sure that I did everything I could to make it uncomfortable for her. But she witnessed anyway. That's obedience. The other aspect, ever caught yourself knowing what you ought to do this, but your mind says, whoa, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. We draw these conclusions, and then we choose not to go there because, oh, no, I don't like the consequences of doing this. One of the things I found in my own life, to the extent that I'm faithful on this, those consequences that often look so scary rarely ever happen. God has a way of just, if we're just walking with him, he has a way of walking with us through those types of challenges. With that as a setting, I say this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this about believers. It says that if we're in Christ, old things pass away and behold, all things have become new. I can easily now, looking back on my life, I recognize for some they didn't have this benefit. But for many of us in here, we did have this benefit. In some respects, it was a tremendous blessing to be saved when I was 27. Because can I see a difference from what I was like before I was saved to where I am now, and the way I look at life, the way I respond to life, the way I talk? You know, and I know I've interacted with my children many times, which were for the most part all saved when they were very young. They don't have that same type of clarity. And so in that regard, that'd be one, but not the only blessing of it, but one blessing of coming to Christ later on. You're able to see the change and recognize the change. And it gives a testimony that, in fact, God has really done a work. But here's the challenge. Everyone in here that claims to know Jesus Christ, can you identify a change? Is your approach to life different now than it was when you were without Christ? It should be. It really should be. And if you can't really remember those younger years, is your life different than the world? It really ought to be. How do we become obedient to God? That's a good question just to think about for a second. One, again, I'll go back to this group I was with this morning, or it was noon hour actually. I said, before we started, I asked them, how many of you can quote a Bible verse? About a third of the group could quote John 3:16. And that's it. Two-thirds of the group didn't claim to know any Bible verses. And I had them turn to Psalms. I'm not going to do it right now, but maybe I do, actually. I had them turn to Psalms 119. 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, if you want to be obedient, and I for one want to be obedient, I love my Lord and I want to do what my Lord says, it is directly connected to knowing his commandments, knowing his word. I mean, that gives us a bearing. He intends for us to be serious about getting into the word. I asked the group, I'm saying it using the group because it's not so directly to you, but I could be asking you directly. How many of you, and I'm not asking you, I asked them, how many of you are regularly attempting and working on scripture memory? There wasn't many. Actually, as I recall, there was one person that said they were. Then I immediately had one of the young men said, but you know what, I can't memorize scripture. I've used a little too much drugs and I can read the Bible and I can understand it and I read it and I understand it and that's what God wants. I said, are you sure? Are you really sure about that? Are you really sure that that's what God wants? And are you really sure that you can't memorize Scripture? He said, well, I can quote John 3:16. I asked him, do you know your license plate? He knew it. I said, you know what? Honestly, we're talking in front of a group. This is a small group, so you understand when you work with groups in this setting, you can be pretty transparent with everybody, to the point. I says, I think you're lying about not being able to memorize Scripture. What you're really saying is you don't care enough to work on memorizing Scripture. Serious problem there. Because obeying His commandments is really helpful to know what they are. Isn't it? It's a good thing. Number, it says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, man or woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. What is the key item? Being in Scripture. Again, not looking for a show in hands. I'm just asking you to look at your own heart. If that's in fact critical to us living victoriously, did you spend any time in the Word today? My point is, you can be your own judge. Do you take this seriously? Because God does. I am convinced He does. This is His love letter to us, His instruction book for us. And yet, we have it so readily available here, and we're careless with it. By looking to God for power. Now, this is a subtlety. There's a subtle aspect of this. What I mean by that. You ever tried to, I have many times people have asked me as a pastor, I don't really know if I'm saved or not. How can I figure this out, and will you help me? I take them to, as many of you know in here, I would take them to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself. It doesn't tell me to necessarily examine you, but you are to examine yourself. I can't see your heart. All I can do as another second party in this is to listen to your words of your testimony and how a person comes to know Christ, how you came to know Christ, and I can make I can give you some counsel on whether or not it matches what the Bible says about that. So it's their testimony. And you know the other piece of the puzzle? I can look at their life. I can have them look at their life. The third is found in John, it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where it talks about the Spirit of God gives testimony to our spirit. Now, I'm just standing before you tonight saying that, boy, if you're trying to explain the testimony of God's Spirit to your spirit, to an unbeliever, and you're able to accomplish that, I want to hear how you did it. Because it's an abstract concept in some respect. But for a believer, there's nothing abstract about it. I know the Spirit of God interacts with my spirit. And I can't quite figure out how to verbalize it to someone who is without Christ, but I'll tell you what, it's evident to me, and I suspect it's evident to most of you. The Spirit of God grabs us, gets a hold of us, confirms things, comforts in different situations, and truly convicts in certain situations. What a blessing. Okay, so we're talking about how do we find victorious obedience? One is recognizing we need to do it in God's power, not ours. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, that is another one of those abstract concepts. But it's not abstract to me. I understand. And I understand when I'm in tension with the reality that Christ in me, the hope of glory, and I am not purposing to be the man that God wants me to be. I am also recognizing so often the blessing of when you give yourself over to say, you know what, whatever you want, Lord, I am yours. Just point me in the right direction and I'll go to it. And if it is different than the schedule I have in my daily planner, I am very open to changing it. All you have to do is give me a hint that you want to change. Okay, I better get moving here. We're in trouble. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's another aspect of that. We have to delight in God's will. You know, when we talk about God's will, Psalms says, I delight to do your will. And he delights in allowing us to do what's on our heart. If our heart's in line with his. It's really a sweet concept. You know, one of the clearest testimonies in my own life in this regard is any time I have the privilege of sharing Christ with an unbeliever and when they respond. I don't care how tired I am or how inconvenient it was, when that happens, I rejoice. And I expect every believer in here has had this privilege, recognizes what I'm talking about. Colossians tells us that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. You know what that says? We got to be really careful. When it has all things like this phrase right here, I think of being careful. Do all. That's not necessarily easy. It's easy to have lapses in our walk where we get focused on ourselves instead of on being a servant of God and a minister in other people's lives. Do God's will carefully. And then it says, the ones that fell on the ground are those who are having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it, and bear fruit with patience. When I think of that, I love this aspect, a noble and good heart. a sincere desire to be obedient. Not playing games, not doing it for reputation of other people. Learning to deal with temptations. James tells us that we're tempted when he is drawn away by our own desires and enticed. That's dealing with the flesh. A real problem. 1 John tells about how do not love the world. And the world system has a way of drawing us. It sets standards that are clearly opposite of what the Word of God says. We see what we have in the argument over what is appropriate marriage. Even what's the appropriate response to homosexuality. The world has some real strong opinions. And I'll tell you what, they're pounding hard on us to accept their standard rather than God's standard. And the evil one is at work. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 20-some years ago, I had the opportunity to go on safari for about 4 nights in a row when I was in Africa with Pam, where we went out in the open Land Rovers, and when the lions were hunting their gazelles, and we saw them kill many gazelles. It was really quite fascinating. It was very uneasy. You know, we had a guy in the open Land Rover with a great big gun that's sat behind us. But this thing is open. I mean, there's not windows. There's not a top. You're just there. But apparently, they know this, that the lions never come into the... If you step out and walk around, then they'll come after you. But if you're in the Land Rover, they never... You can be right next to the lion, could be but 3 or 4 feet away from you hunting, and we would just be sitting there in the Land Rover, and he would just be like we didn't exist. But when they roared, after they took their prey, it was an awesome, I mean, it sends shivers down you, because it is power. And notice the illustration here. We as a group don't typically, I have probably a unique in that I've heard that roar. But I'll tell you what, if you ever heard that roar and you're there present and you're only 10, 20 feet away, you recognize, whoa. And you see how quickly they're able to kill another animal because they're powerful. That's the illustration. We need to be on guard. Learn by dealing with temptation to be alert. We're talking about conditions for victory. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he devours. Same verse, but here's the point. I am reminded in my own life the importance, if I have the capability to get rest. When I do not get rest, I lose my alertness, my response to situation, and it's amazing how my guard comes down. And I recognize that is an important aspect of it. So I need to have my head on thinking about it. The other way that I lose alertness is to just get caught up in the moments, the events that are going on. And you get so excited and so involved and things are going. It could be things like a baseball game or something that's totally irrelevant and from the eternal aspects of life. But we get distracted. Be careful. Be controlled by the Spirit, and do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's controlled with the Spirit is the real thought there. Be in submission to the Spirit, just like alcohol controls. Again, one of the advantages here of being saved when I was older rather than when I'm 5, I totally understand what it means to be controlled by alcohol. I suspect any of us that were saved later know what that's like. You know, you don't really have the awareness. You can't quite do what you did. Well, we are to be that type of surrender to the Spirit of God so that it has control of us. Be quick in dealing with temptation. We need to be very, very alert and responsive because we can be drawn away so quickly. So we need to be quick to respond. We need to know the biblical escapes. I put in verse 12 an addition, because 12 tells me, for me personally, it's a big item. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. That, if I want to have victory in my life, I need to keep control of my self-confidence, my self-assurance. Wow, it is easy to get caught off guard when you think you really got it together. Scripture speaks to that. That's a dangerous mode to be in. But then it goes on to say that God always provides a way of escape. There's never an excuse that you didn't have a way to get out of this. Now, what is the result of that? Well, you're going to have to recognize that he has definitely identified a few very specific responses. Sexual temptation. What should we do? Well, it couldn't be clearer in 2 Timothy 2:22. We ought to flee it. We ought not to stick around to see how close we can get to it or how much we can enjoy before we fall into sin. He says, get away from it. Run from it. When Satan causes us to doubt him or doubt what should happen. Matthew chapter 4, I didn't want to put this whole passage down, but it's very, very significant. Jesus gave us several examples about this. It says we're to submit to God. How did he submit to the Father in the midst of his temptation? Over and over and over again, three times, he found his strength in the Word. Knowing the Word, responding to the Word, applying the Word to his life circumstances. That was obviously in there for us to learn how to find victory. But it goes all the way back to basically where we started. Pretty hard to do if you don't know the Word. And we need to obey by faith, confidence in who God is and his Word, and not our feelings. Colossians 2 said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did we receive him? By trusting in who he is and what he has done. And how do we know that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we have trust in it and not in what the world has been pushing as the agenda. And then pray for victory. You know, when my life is really going well, I fall victim to forgetting to pray that God would protect me. I don't always make that one of the things that I pray. And I don't know why. I struggle with that. Maybe you do too. But we need to recognize the roaring lion is wandering around seeking whom he may devour. No question about that. And therefore, we ought to be praying ourselves and praying for one another that we might stand strong no matter what the circumstances. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray that this quick topical review of victory and obedience and how they tie together, Lord, I pray that you would use it, remind us. I suspect that different portions of it would be more applicable to different individuals. In myself, I think of that last point and how important it is to not assume that I can have victory, but to be praying and asking and leaning on you, reminding that my power is found in you and not in myself. How dangerous that is a thought, as an approach to life. Father, we thank you for who you are. We ask you to watch over us, guide and direct us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.